And this is our number two. All right, here we go now.
Broadcasting live from London, England, site of Sunday Seahawks Raiders game. This is the Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM, where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Sean DeTore, you little scamp, you. Welcome back to London, England, where the Seahawks are playing the Oakland Raiders on Sunday at historic Wembley Stadium. And today and tomorrow, we are broadcasting live here on the Dory Monson Show. Well into the night here in London. It is 9:08 p.m. in London. Got pretty good rain going on here. And, man, Ursula, are you still there?
Of course, yes.
So, I mentioned right at the beginning of the show that I haven't slept since the night before last.
I know, you're doing really well, actually.
Oh, thanks. I feel surprisingly good. There have been times where I've been, well, you know.
Oh, yeah. We're all on, at the edge of our seat wondering, okay, what is going to go down?
And I will tell you that Nicole has, I think, been awake even longer than me.
I think she said something about 30 hours. Yeah, 30 hours, right, Nicole?
I'm on 30 now. We're not done yet.
Here's the thing, Ursula, and I figured this out today. Nicole, two of my daughters and Nicole have FOMO.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so Nicole's friend Jessamine is here, and say we're going to go into central London, because we're about, how far out of the city are we, Nicole?
It took us about an hour on the tube to get there.
An hour?
Look, she just sounds like a
transfer and get, and then we had to walk quite a ways, so.
Okay.
But did you see?
To get down there.
I mean, I saw that Nicole. Nicole's already had some royalty sightings.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
We're getting to that.
We're getting
to that in just a moment here. But so Nicole has FOMO. So she, you know, she's here in the London area. She's got to go in, see Big Ben and Buckingham Palace and all of that. I, on the other hand, have Mo. I just want to miss out on everything. I want to just go to my hotel room and work on the show and all that. And Nicole's already done so much prep for the show.
She's doing it right, though. She is doing it right. How often do you get a chance to go to London?
I know, but I have Mo. So
my favorite, I mean, one of my favorite stories of the day is Dory is literally the only person that was going to try to maybe catch a couple Z's after we got here. And so all of, him and his team from the pre- and post-game show, we're all going to check in early, right? But he was the only one that was going to try to take in a little bit of sleep. And so all of the guys went, checked in, left. Dory went to check in, and you can tell the rest.
So
did you get any foot massages?
No. Although, maybe Saturday.
Okay.
But so I get here, and I'm thinking, okay, I might try to take a little nap. So Paul Moyer and I are walking up. Paul's room is right across the hall from mine. Paul gets into his room. I open the door to my room, and there's a woman's purse and luggage and an unmade bed.
The worst hotel luck.
I do have
Seriously,
horrible hotel
terrible.
Luck.
First, yes. A bloody bed.
So now, and this place is huge where we're staying. It's gigantic.
It's beautiful.
It's all Seahawks. It's called the Grove. The Grove?
Yes, the Grove. And it's a big golf course and
it's like a 100-year-old sprawling country manor.
It's normally a soccer field or a football field in the back, but it's the Seahawks are practicing back there, and it's really nice.
I can't even believe that you would even think of sleeping, Dory. Seriously. And I can't even believe Paul Moyer would think of it. Okay, go on.
So I got up to my room thinking I'm going to take a little nap. I see a woman's purse in there, and then, of course, all I'm thinking about is false accusations. I got to get out of here. And so I go sprinting out of the room because I don't know if she was in the bathtub or what. So so then I go down to the front desk and they go, well, we're so sorry. They're just wonderful. The staff here, they're awesome. She goes, give us 5 or 10 minutes. So I go and just grab a little something to drink, non-alcoholic. And then I go back 15 minutes later. I go, you got a room for me? And she goes, yes. And she leads me down these stairs to the basement. Mm-hmm. And the walls are covered with like a black velvet.
He's in a dungeon.
And there are
Are there any
fixtures.
Windows?
There are no windows.
Oh no.
And there are light fixtures sticking out of this black velvet. But it leads to this room there's no shower, but there's this old Victorian bathtub. And then there's a window that looked out on this, you know, wonderful terrace, and it was amazing. But it was like medieval, so I couldn't sleep down there. It was scary, Ursula.
Okay, so then
but
what?
He's the only one that even needed a room at that moment. All the rest of us had left.
Yeah, so that's why I had
to sleep in the lobby.
That's why. Oh yeah, that'd be a good look. Okay, but then so Nicole comes back and she has on her phone picture proof of who she encountered today.
Yes, I encountered the queen.
I know.
As I was
of
getting
course
ready
you
to
did.
Cross. Of course I did. As we were getting ready to cross the street, a man with a big machine gun jumped in front of us, told everybody to stop, stopped all the cars, and then her car came out, and I snapped a photo as she drove by me.
But she's not that far away. I mean, you can see in the back seat of this car.
Her silhouette.
It's the queen.
Very cool. Yeah. So no sightings of Harry and Meghan?
Yeah, so we're pretty sure we saw them, but we don't have photographic evidence yet.
I didn't even know that there was a royal wedding here. And yes. And I said that.
Fergie's daughter.
I didn't even know until
Sarah Duchess.
I talked to, there were a bunch of Seahawk fans on the plane coming over from Seattle when we landed early this morning. And I ran into this 10-year-old kid named Jacob, and he was the one who broke the news to me about the royal wedding.
There's always a royal wedding.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hey, can you,
this is Sarah, Duchess of York. It's her daughter.
Can you bring the audio on my computer up there, Sean?
And the wedding's tomorrow.
Okay, here we go. Uh-oh.
Nope, it's not working.
Why can't I hear the kid? Why can't I hear the kid here?
Yeah, I heard just a little snippet there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, let me try one more time. Okay, and are you a huge Seahawk fan, young man?
Yes.
How old are you?
10.
Okay, so how about this London trip? This is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Have you ever been over here before?
No.
Okay, how long are you guys going to stay?
A week.
Okay, what else are you going to do while you're here?
Watch the royal wedding.
Really? Is somebody getting married this week? I didn't know that. Is there a royal wedding?
Princess Eugenie.
You're going to watch Princess Eugenie? Yeah. What if she decides that you are cuter than the guy she's about to marry, and she pulls you over, and you break up her marriage?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so I don't know if Jacob's gonna end up with Eugenie. I think
he might be a little young.
I think she's gonna go ahead with the guy she's scheduled to marry him.
Yeah,
but the Cloonies, I you did know about this wedding because I told you the Cloonies were gonna be in town. Elton John was supposed to be in town.
I know.
Everybody's supposed to be on the lookout.
I know you told me that. I don't listen to anything.
But even if George Clooney were to be right in front of Dory and he was that sleep deprived, you'd probably go for the nap.
Well, here's the other thing that I've discovered in the midst of this trip, Ursula. So Nicole put together this thick packet. You saw it before we left, right?
I know. It was like a travel agent.
Had maps of the area around our hotel, of downtown London. It had the itinerary, the Seahawk practice schedule. It had all of this stuff. So I'm at the airport yesterday with Paul Moyer and Jordan Babineau. And I'm telling them that it's so great to have somebody who you work with who does stuff like that, that, you know, just helps make your life easier. And then I think, oh, no, I forgot to tell my credit card company that I was coming to London. And, you know, they will often just, you know, stop payments, not make the card valid. So I'm sitting at the airport. We're grabbing a bite to eat. I'm just have told them about how Nicole makes my work life so easy. I call up my credit card company. I'm on hold for a long time. And then, you know, tell us what you want. international travel. And then the recording comes on. We see that you will be in the United Kingdom from October 10th through October 15th. And I realized my wife did that for me.
Nice.
I'm surrounded by all of these people who just make my life easier. So why don't I act like somebody who has an easy life?
You do have it good, for sure.
Yeah, I do. I really do. So the other story, we're going to talk, by the way, with Dave Reichert next hour, the retiring member of Congress, about the death penalty. What's the buzz been back home about this Supreme Court decision to make the death penalty illegal, unconstitutional in Washington?
Well, obviously the people who have been fighting it are thrilled, and that includes Governor Inslee and King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg. But we are talking to some of the families of the victims of the inmates who are currently on death row, and they are outraged. And in fact, the family of Jamie Bindle, the corrections officer who was killed by Byron Scherf, they found out, Hannah called, to get reaction, and they hadn't heard. I mean, until
they
she
found
called.
Out from Hannah.
Yeah. So she
because I played that one soundbite in Big Lead, and I mentioned an hour ago that I have such misgivings about the death penalty,
right?
Because there is a big part of me that thinks it's not up to man to end lives. There's a big part of me, though, that feels such sympathy for these victims' families, like Jamie Bindle's father.
When there is a perpetrator that openly confesses to premeditated murder, such as in the case of my daughter Jamie, and shows absolutely no remorse, I say they deserve no less than capital punishment. In the case of the murder of my daughter, abolishing the death penalty effectively removes the only punishment that remains for that offender.
And that is the Snohomish County prosecutor, Mark Rowe, who was speaking on behalf of Jamie Bindle's father.
Oh, that was Mark Rowe.
That was
Rowe
Mark
there.
Rowe, yes.
Okay,
and he's
gotcha.
One of the prosecutors are saying, for those who say, that it hasn't been an effective tool or it doesn't do the job that it needs to do, he disagrees.
Yeah, it's, and look, I'm torn about it. So I understand society being torn about it. I go back and forth about the part of me that says man should not end lives, and the part of me that says we've got to honor the wishes of the victims' families. So I know that that's a big deal. There's one other story that I've been following along with here, and that's the Cato Institute, which is a wonderful they're libertarian. That's their ideology. And they have evaluated all 50 governors in the United States of America on how they do on the issue of taxes. Jay Inslee, and I heard there was more buzz today. Some listeners sent me some emails about how just on the morning news today, not our morning news, but one of the TV stations, that they were talking again about buzz is amping up about Jay Inslee running for president. The Cato Institute had Jay Inslee dead last among the 53 governors. Jeez, 50. Okay, there's my sleeplessness.
Were you counting a few?
Yeah, I just pulled Obama 57 states.
Throwing Puerto Rico 50, six additional times.
Among the 50 governors, Jay Inslee was last when it came to tax efficiency. And I just want to remind everybody, Jay Inslee, when he keeps telling us over and over how we need to raise taxes for this and for that and for carbon and for everything else, that this is what he told me when he was running for governor.
My plan is very specific. It does not propose or support tax increases in general taxes.
Isn't that remarkable? I mean, as a campaigner, Jay Inslee, and my point about all this is, The Democrats are always calling Trump such a liar. He's such a liar. But they don't care about our governor, who told me and my listeners, promised that he would not raise taxes as governor. And then the Cato Institute comes out with this study, and he is dead last among the 50 or 53 or 57, however many states there are now. I don't know what's happened since I left the country. But how do you not be bothered by Jay Inslee lying about something that ends up costing us billions and billions of dollars, and yet you complain about other politicians. It's just all about ideology. And Jay Inslee is just coming up a big old zero. So, I mean, I've said it a million times. Oh, I want him. And you told me, I haven't had a chance, Ursula. We played a couple of Kanye sound bites at the White House right before the top of the hour. And you said it, the raw audio, and I haven't had time to listen to the 24 minutes that you loaded.
Everything came down at the same time, so I have not been able to go through the whole thing. But just to look at, when I was looking up at, you know, CNN, MSNBC, you know, everyone covering the discussion that they had, I mean, I think the reporters just couldn't believe what was happening. It was both bizarre. It was bizarre, entertaining. I mean, President
is
Trump
loved
it.
Is there audio more bizarre than the sound bites that, that I have?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was throwing F-bombs. But, I mean, Trump was eating it up. I mean, he doesn't have a stronger supporter than Kanye West. I mean, and he was Kanye was hitting, like, a wide range of topics. I mean, it was just free, you know. Yeah,
it was interesting. I was talking with somebody at the airport yesterday, or this morning, whatever it was, and they were talking specifically about Kanye's support of President Trump, and also that, you know, why doesn't the African American community give any credit at all to the fact that the African American unemployment rate is the lowest in history, and 92% of the news coverage of the president has been negative. On ABC, NBC, and CBS since it was June through September, and he's done some good things, and Kanye reflects that. But man, everybody hates on Kanye, but they love Taylor Swift's being political. It's crazy to me. All right, that there is from London. Your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast Dory's fastest 15.
Hey, look who's just walking into our room where we're broadcasting from here in London. Dave Wyman, Paul Moyer. We got some stories to tell. Paul Moyer is not going to be allowed to tell one of the stories that I know he came in here to tell. But anyway, we'll have all that straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls.
Only reason I London. See face get around where I come from. See me not trust them, me love no one. See face get around where I come from.
No, we're not playing yet. Because we haven't explained to Paul what the game is.
I need to hear it first. Because we don't get this music in our pubs.
This is
Future.
Oh, man.
We're not actually on, are we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, believe it or not.
I thought we were having our own little conversation.
No, believe it or not, this is actually show content.
Good stuff.
Who was it, Sean?
Oh, I wasn't expecting you to get this. It's AJ featuring AJ X Dino featuring EO. I don't know who the heck this is either. Exactly. It's a song called London.
Please don't use the D word on my show.
Darn it.
Yeah. Okay, you use that D word.
What's the D word, Jory?
We just came back from a pub. So, okay, full disclosure.
Okay, well, before we get into all of that, so Paul Moyer and Dave Wyman have just dropped by the big show. It's 9:35 at night here in London right now. And, Paul, do you ever listen when Dave's on my show on Tuesday afternoons?
Yes.
Good Lord, no.
That's a lot of pressure.
Do you know what we do?
No, I have no idea. During the day, but I do listen to
Sean. Paul's a working man. Sean plays. Not like us.
No, we just talk for 3 hours a day.
He has a job.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Sean plays a song as the bumper going in and out of at each segment, and Dave and I compete in Name That Artist, and we'd like to invite you to join us today.
Can I bring my wife in on this one?
No.
Because Heather is very good at this.
Sean, please go ahead with the first song of the segment.
I'm just mad about Seth.
Donovan.
You got it.
Okay, it's 1-0-0.
And that's with Dory being like sleepless, by the way. Dory,
yeah.
Dory, no sleep, still wins.
Some sleep, for crying out.
Ursula, can I use you on my team?
I'm not going to help, I'm afraid.
Are we going to have a lack of sleep contest?
No, we're all good.
Yeah.
But, okay, here's it.
I didn't get drink spilled on my lap.
Oh.
Other than that,
here's how good of friends Dave and Paul are. You've been out at a pub this evening.
Don't look at us like that. And laugh.
You've been out at a pub this evening.
We were exploring a pub,
right?
A local pub.
I haven't left the hotel grounds since I got here.
Resort.
And I was planning right after the show to go get some nighty night, but you guys came back here. You brought me
steak, fish and chips
from this pub. Well, and
it was actually for Paul and I.
No, it was for Dory. No, actually, it wasn't for you, Dave.
But
Dory was over there sawing at that thing like it was. He had a chainsaw in his hand.
He did break the fork.
It's a little rare. Yeah. It's a little rare, the steak.
It's a little game.
I asked for medium, by the way. And I asked for it to go. And they brought it on plates. And I'm Jessamine.
You have to say takeaway. They don't say to go here.
So
they
I said to take go. Away. Jessamine was there with me. And I asked five times. I go, takeaway. And she goes, yes. And then the guy brings it on plates. And I go, yeah, no.
That's a great story.
Thank you.
Okay. So yesterday, is Ursula
still there? Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so here's one of the great scenes.
Ursula,
so,
go home.
No, I'm waiting to hear the Moyer story that Dory said he's not going to allow you to say.
So we get on the plane, and I have a bulkhead, and we got the kind of the middle class on this flight.
It was nice.
It was very
it's like
nice.
First class
like
domestic.
Upper middle class.
It's like first class domestic. If you were on Alaska Airlines flying to New York, it's like being in first class.
Okay, so I'm bulkhead aisle. Felt great about that. And we're going to try to maneuver because right behind me is Ray Roberts, Big Ray. And then there's a stranger lady next to him. And then Paul Moyer's across the aisle. And Paul and I want to play backgammon coming over. So we're standing up trying to negotiate. Will you switch seats with him? And I'll switch seats with him. And
big mistake, by the way.
Yeah. And it turned into a nightmare. And
you guys sound really high maintenance. You're on
Dory's
not only
the
nightmare sounds like that Dory spilled stuff. Like it was like you described that as if the nightmare happened out of thin air when actually it was your actions.
He reminds me of one of the locals we were just at the pub.
I'm never inviting you guys on
after a
pub like visit think that you don't need subcaptions when you're watching me.
Subtitles, but I hear you.
Subtitles, whatever.
So anyway, Paul and I wanted to play backgammon, and because it was kind of premium, I'm thinking, well, I got to sleep on this flight, and maybe a couple of drinkies would help sleep.
Yes.
Because, yeah. Why are you groaning at all this, Ursula?
Because I just can't wait.
She's seen this.
Okay.
I have.
Why? Because she's a mature adult.
It's because of the three of you.
And she understands where this is going.
Yes. I've seen three of you in action.
We're about 5 hours into the flight, and I accidentally knocked a drink onto Paul Moyer's leg of, it kind of soaked the leg of his pants.
I'll tweet that out later. It was definitely
I like to
wet.
Think that it was on purpose, though.
No, the first one was an accident.
It was a subconscious act.
And we're not even sure. He claims that he didn't do it the first time, and that's debatable. I could agree with you on that. I'm not sure who, but it wasn't me.
So then, oh, gosh, what did you say?
5 minutes later. 5 minutes later, after I've dried my seat off, my pants to an extent, even though it does look like I have a very big stain.
Yeah,
it's a new one to the top, a new drink, cranberry, mind you. And now it not only hits my leg again, but now it's in my seat and the backside.
Crotch.
It is. I'm soaked at this point.
Yeah, and then it wasn't until then that Dory was open to exploring the fact that it might have been his fault.
Are you not?
Like that was yo, that's my bad.
Now in the meantime,
yes, that's what I said. Yeah. Yo, that's my bad.
Did.
That's exactly what I
what
said.
The kids say.
So I in my new nice resort room, I have washed my pants in the tub.
Nice.
So I hopefully they dry by tomorrow because they are really wet. Thank you, by the way.
So anyway, that's the story of our little flight over here, Ursula.
Good start.
Nice. As much as I know that Dave Wyman loves being on a cramped plane.
He wasn't with us.
Oh, okay.
He was on the team.
I was going to say, you're so lucky that didn't land on Dave's
plane. No, it was terrible.
Gotcha. Okay.
I was cramped. I took drugs. I did everything you could do to knock yourself out. I could not sleep.
That, I tried everything.
Yeah. Yes, you I did. Tried it.
Yeah, even, okay, Sean, play us out.
Sounds like if you hadn't spilled that alcohol on Paul's pants, that might have
helped. Sean, play us out.
That might have helped.
Van Halen.
Doggone it.
Van Halen.
Is that right, Sean?
Ain't talking about
That's
love.
Correct.
You know, shouldn't we take Van Halen out of the rotation because Dave gets it every single time? I don't know if this is fair to me. Okay.
I think that's coming from a man who's nervous.
Yeah, Van. 1-1 right now.
Okay,
Paul's over, by the way.
Well, look,
No, we're tossing to break now.
I claim nothing. It'd be like you
we're
guys golfing with
to break now.
You're not winning. I'm not winning in this.
I'm going to beat you.
Hey, Dory, toss to break. We'll come back talk about our pub story.
Actually, we're going to talk about the Seahawks in London.
No, we're talking about the club.
Gives people a little content for crying out loud.
I had to Uber over
As here. The Dory Monson Show continues live from London. In all the streets again. Oh, yeah, you think you're in a cookie, baby. You better find yourself a friend.
Yep, that's correct.
That's impressive. That was
Can
impressive.
I just make a statement about that? The Clash sucks.
No, this was a really good album.
Are you being fed ahead of time?
No.
Let's come. Okay,
no.
Check.
I'm an honest man, Paul Moore. Paul Moore and Dave Wyman with me here in London, where it's 9:49 p.m., 1:49 back in Seattle. So the Seahawks, Dave, I saw you at the practice today. One thing that impressed me, I talked to Justin Britt. In fact, I'll play that in the big lead at 2. But and all the other guys that I heard, they all had the exact same message. Because everybody says, oh, how tough is the time change and not sleeping. And they all, and I think this probably comes from Pete Carroll, they said, doesn't bother us a bit. We're all professionals. We got a job to do. Slept on the plane. And I thought, you know what? That's just another element that they can control and at being better at than the Raiders. And they're just all saying, it's no big deal. And if this is true in everything, I said this at the beginning of the show, in business, whatever is beyond your control, you just have to manage it better than anybody who's an opponent of yours. And I thought the Seahawks' messaging on that was fantastic.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the thing. Especially you got to convince the guys that, like, when you are, geez, you get all kinds of noises going on.
I got something in my throat. Yeah. Oh.
No, but, I mean, look, yes, that's exactly what you do. That's called toughness. And that's why you get paid all that money. You know, look, we can sit here and whine about, you know, grape juice being spilled on our laps or, you know, whatever, you know, a couple of times maybe. Sometimes it happens twice.
Cranberry.
In the same cranberry. But, you know, these guys are like, look, we're tough guys. I mean, that's why you get paid all that money. You're better than everybody else. And they're just like, hey, look, this is – it's kind of a challenge, like a toughness challenge. So these guys, they don't care. You know, that they have to come over here. And the practice out there was exactly like what you get in Renton.
Yeah.
They had the music going. They had the same pattern, everything. So Pete does such a great job.
Yep.
And, you know, I talked to Dave Pearson, who's a vice president, and he was like, you know, if you don't act like it's a big deal, then it's not a big deal. And that's what they did. They handled it really well. And, Paul, I thought, you know, I think they're handling it better than the Raiders. What do I base this on? The owner of the Raiders' haircut.
Yeah.
He's a jackass.
It's a bull.
Yes.
It's a bull.
He, and I hear that he pays a lot of money for that. Mm-hmm. And when I look at that guy's hair, I go, he's a clown. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, he's probably
this
not
Mark
handling
Davis,
it.
Mark Davis, Al Davis' son.
As well.
I'm not sure.
Seahawks.
I don't know what they do, but what I do know is the
they
Seahawks
came in on
do.
Thursday instead of Wednesday.
Well, I feel like we both came in on Thursday. But, yeah, I get your point.
No.
I know what you're saying.
We came in a day early.
Right. The attention to detail for the Seahawks is amazing. And now just even our experience. You know, we're staying at a resort outside of London about 20 miles. It's incredible. The security here, the attention to detail in that is incredible. And the nice thing about what the Seahawks thought about is, okay, we're going to fly out at night. So it's a 9.5 hour flight that the guys can actually sleep like they normally would wake up. They get off the plane. They come to the hotel resort. We're here. They go out to practice. So they're going to be acclimated already. And that's the great thing about being a charter. You get to pick the time you get to leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, just everything here is so first class. I mean, I wish we're so blessed and fortunate. We get to experience what the Seahawks do for us and just how classy everything is. Yeah. You know, you'd love to see other people be able to experience it. So now you're a player. I mean, there's nothing to complain about. You're paid well. Everything is taken care of for you. Go out and play a football game. We're going to win Sunday. It's a big deal. There's so many Seahawks fans here in London. It's ridiculous. This will be an 80% Seahawks stadium.
And it's going to be almost sold out, if it's not sold out, at Wembley. 100,000. What do you guys think of, real quick, we've got about 30 seconds. What do you think about first when you hear Wembley Stadium?
Well, I mean, history, you know, I mean, soccer. I mean, just all the history to it. I'm actually glad it's here, even though the new stadium would have been cool. But for us to be able to experience that, you know, there's a lot of old stadiums that have been torn down, and we get to get this one.
I think about Evel Knievel.
What?
One of his most famous crashes was at Wembley.
Really?
Knievel?
Oh, yeah.
I think of the Grant. Or
probably other than Caesar's Palace. It's the other most famous crash. Wait, we got a song here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that one. Myself. I know the words anymore.
Oh, for crying out. Eric Carmen.
Nice job, Dory.
Wow. You know what? Kudos to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
You can spill a drink in my lap anytime.
No, you can't.
You guys can go back to the pub now. Your work is done here. Thank you for coming by. I really appreciate it. You can ice
my crotch anytime, Tori.
Can you guys hit the quick...
Dave, do not go back to the pub.
No.
I rescind what I just said.
Can you go to my room?
Yes, go
it's
to bed.
It's the first time I've seen you speechless. I got no comment for that one.
The Big Lead of Two is coming up next, live from London.